Well, well, well. Here we are, just 4 days away from 2-0, and just 11 days away from 3-0. Somebody in Pittsburgh say something about getting fired up. I sense guarded optimism on your part, but it's optimism nonetheless. Because let's be honest, not a single friggin' one of you expected the Steelers to beat Buffalo. Some of you might have said so, but let's put on a lie detector and see who really thought what. Strap on that polygraph, because if you said it, I bet you didn't think it. I do believe the Steelers are going to win Sunday at home at Heinz Field, where the beer flows like wine and the urine flows like the three rivers through the parking lot. I do believe in 2-0. I do believe in 3-0. It's time to Corvette. It's time to tick and talk. It's time to get down on it. Get down with the sickness. Get down tonight and get down with the boogie. You beat the Buffalo Bills. That's something no one could ever take away from you. Unless you kill your wife and a waiter. In which case, all bets are off. It's time to have fun before it's too late. Last year, we didn't have enough fun at 11-0. In 2019, we didn't have enough fun at 8-5. In 2018, we didn't have enough fun at 7-2-1. Enjoy it now. It's later than you think. Unless it's not. This is the Mark Madden Show. I work heel, and I work stiff. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call, or do what the cool kids do and follow me on Twitter at MarkMaddenX. I like to set the scene. What if the Steelers are 3-0 heading to Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers still sucks? All those old-ass quarterbacks stuck around thinking they're Tom Brady. And then it becomes apparent they're not Tom Brady. Aaron Rodgers might be top five all-time when it comes to quarterbacks, but he trails Brady 7-1. Rodgers couldn't carry Brady's jock in a hockey bag. He's got one ring and a B-list actress for a wife. Brady is the Fonz, and Rodgers is Potsy. And that may be a dated reference, but at least it's not a superhero reference. Hey! How about the gay player forced that fumble in overtime that won the game for Vegas against Baltimore? Carl Nassib, that's big. The NFL's first openly gay player. Ryan Clark called Nassib, and I quote, butt booty naked on that play. Clark said that on ESPN. Butt booty naked. I have no idea what that means. But it doesn't offend me. And if Nassib wants to be butt booty naked, I'm okay with that too. Seriously, what does that mean? Does that mean Nassib went unblocked? Why not just say he went unblocked? It's a football game. It's not an episode of Will and Grace. I'm happy for Nassib. We talked about that when he came out. I respect his courage, and we've all seen his ability. He had a sack Sunday, and now has 21.5 sacks on his career, which is an NFL record for an openly gay man, whether he's butt booty naked or not. Roll over Ryan Clark and tell Joy Behar the news. You gotta love it. Nassib is terrific. He's a killer. The autumn wind is a raider. By the way, that Steeler offense on Sunday at Buffalo, Ben's average release time was 2.06 seconds. That was the fastest in the league in week one. And the Steelers were in the shotgun on 43 snaps out of 56. For better or worse, does all that in any way sound familiar? Pro Football Focus said Ben was the NFL's worst quarterback in week one. You either believe those stats or you don't. A lot of crazy news floating around the sports world. Aaron Rodgers said he got intercepted because he got hit in the testicles the play before. Urban Meyer won't talk to the media because of the rumors that he's going to leave Jacksonville in the NFL for Southern Cal and college football. That's after just one game at Jacksonville. Ryan Fitzpatrick, the quarterback for the Washington Red Hogs or whatever they're called, he reportedly hurt his hip on a water slide last week, not in the game this past Sunday. Charlie Batch, pickup basketball, it rings a bell. Steph Curry is going to be part of Ryder Cup coverage on CBS, which makes zero sense. But turning now to baseball, there's a story about how humble and unaffected Ohtani is, the guy with the Angels, who pitches and hits, and he's great, and apparently he's humble and lovable, according to this story, just like Underdog Secret Identity, Shoeshine Boy. Well, look, how do we know Ohtani is humble and lovable? Ohtani speaks through an interpreter, right? You speak Japanese? How do we know what Ohtani's saying? Ohtani could be saying, baseball in your crappy country is easy against the untalented dogs you call major leaguers. I'm having a great time sleeping with all your women. Japan is superior. Banzai. And the interpreter says, Ohtani-san is very humbled by great players you have in American baseball. But meanwhile, Ohtani hates America, he hates Americans, and he wants to kill all of us. By the way, Guerrero, Vladdy Jr., caught Ohtani in home runs, but Ohtani will definitely be the MVP because that was preordained a long time ago. And Ohtani is real good, but he's not yet the greatest player ever. If he tries to pitch and be an everyday player for too long, he's eventually going to have problems. It reminds me of a joke the late, great Norm MacDonald told at the 98 ESPYs about Hideki Arabu, a Japanese pitcher for the Yankees at the time, who also used an interpreter.
I was a little later tonight. I took a cab to the theater, folks. And I don't know if you've ever been in these New York City cabs, but I got one of those cabbies, couldn't speak English, you know. Saw his name there on the dash. I couldn't even pronounce it. I think it was something like Hideki Arabu. I'm like, that. Arabu's been having some trouble, man. They fired his translator. Steinbrenner fired his translator. And people say, I see that as cruel, you know, but I don't know, you know. I mean, if you're not doing well in Yankee Stadium, you know, do you really need a translator? Do you want that, you know? You know? Hey, what'd they say? They say you suck. You should go back to Japan, you dirty foreigner. Okay, I got it. I'm trying to pitch over here.
I think Juju should use an interpreter. Maybe he just speaks through his dancing. I kind of feel bad for Ben because Ben Roethlisberger hears everything that's said about him, reads everything that's said about him. He is all too aware of the media, much more than he should be. Guy's got two rings, $1 billion, great family. What's he care what the wretched media thinks? But Pro Football Focus saying he was the worst quarterback in the NFL in week one. Ben's got to be thinking, I just beat Buffalo. I thought I did okay. And now they're telling me I'm the worst quarterback in football after week one? Like I said, you either believe what Pro Football Focus says or you don't. I don't. I will never bother to figure it out because, honestly, and I think Norm MacDonald would agree, it's just not that friggin' important. But hey, how about those Steelers? That will be the focus of today's show. Well, that and Liverpool and AC Milan, which is going on right now live, but I'm not distracted. I'm concentrating on the show. This segment is live, no matter what you think, absolutely live. On Sunday, I'll be at the Schoolhouse Tavern in Claridge to watch the Steeler game. Really looking forward to that. Hey, a lot of people showed up in Elwood City. They're 1-0 at the T-Box. If you don't show up at the Schoolhouse Tavern for week two and they lose, I think you jinxed the whole damn deal. I think that is on you. We got a great show today. We got Rick Tocchet, former Penguins player and assistant coach, won 3 Stanley Cups with the club. He's now the studio analyst for the NHL on TNT. Talk joins me at 3:30. We got Adam Crowley in here co-hosting from 4 till 5. And we have former Steelers linebacker Arthur Motes joining me at 5:30. This is the Mark Madden Show. And in just a minute, even though we have canceled the Bucco Roundup, I am going to bury the Pirates. And I got to be honest, you're not going to like it. It's really mean-spirited. But after I'm done talking, if you think clearly, you will agree with every word I say. 105.9X.
Mattress Warehouse. SleepHappens.com.
From the Century 3 Chevrolet Traffic Center.
Stop and go, Parkway.
Legal nowhere but Medellin.
The X at 105.9.
Tonight is Roberto Clemente night at PNC Park. I believe it's Roberto Clemente Day in Pittsburgh and Allegheny County, perhaps in the state, perhaps across this nation of ours, perhaps worldwide. All the Pirates will be wearing number 21 for the game tonight, which gives them much needed anonymity. If you can't figure out who they are, you don't know who sucks the worst. I don't think wearing number 21 is going to solve all the Pirates' problems. If it was that simple, they would wear number 21 every night. Yo, you're just not going to like this, bud. Every time the Pirates do this, we hear how MLB should retire number 21 across all of baseball. That's absurd. That equates Clemente to Jackie Robinson, and with all due respect to Clemente, who is the greatest Pirate ever, what each man experienced is in no way remotely comparable. It's not close. One win was an idol to Latino baseball players, and certainly he had to deal with his share of racism in that era. But the other man, Jackie Robinson, he broke baseball's color barrier in Jim Crow racist America and got death threats every day. Do you see the difference? Also, I'm tired of hearing about Clemente's son, Roberto Clemente Jr., like he's some kind of celebrity. I see people asking for his autograph, and that makes me want to puke. Who'd he ever beat? Never played one inning in the bigs. Never played organized baseball at all, to my knowledge. All Roberto Clemente Jr. is somebody's kid. We never hear about Willie Stargell Jr. or Terry Bradshaw Jr. or whoever Jr. Roberto Clemente Jr., being that just shouldn't matter. And here's the big thing. If Roberto Clemente were alive today, he'd be deeply ashamed of what the Pirates have become. You think he wants Wilmer Defoe wearing number 21? You think he wants a last place team, all the players wearing number 21? And yet the Pirates continue to leech off the Clemente name, and his kid plays along, and it's just disgusting to me. If the Pirates want to pay tribute to Roberto Clemente, be better. Spend money. Quit playing the Clemente card. Quit playing the nostalgia card. Quit playing the 79 champs card. Quit playing the 71 champs card. Quit playing the Hannes Wagner statue card, and just be better. And of course, what makes it easy for the Pirates to get away with it is the Bucco Stooge media plays along. Oh, this is so great. Clemente night. Retire number 21. Look, Roberto Jr.'s here. Blah, blah, blah. Don't look here. Look over there. The Pirates just get away with absolute murder in this town. Absolute friggin' murder. Got a couple tweets commenting on Carl Nassib from the Las Vegas Raiders being the all-time sack leader among openly gay players. You know how that could change overnight? What if a guy who already had a ton of sacks, retired years ago, comes out as gay now after the fact? Suddenly he's the leader, didn't have to get a single extra sack. Of course I kid. Carl Nassib, what he's doing, I'll tell you how good he is as a player. Here's how good Carl Nassib is as a player. When he got that sack, the strip sack. Well, knocked the ball loose. I forget the exactitudes. And that won the game for the Raiders over the Baltimoreans on Monday night. When Carl Nassib did that, nobody mentioned that he was the NFL's first openly gay player. He's just a player and a good player. And that is a big step in the right direction. I'm not sure what Ryan Carr calling him butt booty naked is all about. But Carl Nassib, man, all the credit in the world. Much strength and power to that guy. 412-333-WXDX. Just around the corner, we got Rick Tocchet, formerly of the Penguins, now of TNT Sports, the NHL on TNT. It's the Mark Madden Show at 105.9.
This is Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson. Here's what's trending on the iHeart Sports Network.
Presented by Universal Windows Direct.
Big Ben says he's encouraged by the health of his surgically
Do you have any idea how dumb that sounds?
VX at 105.9.
My guest right now won the Stanley Cup with the Penguins as a player and as an assistant coach. He was just announced as a studio analyst for the NHL on TNT this season. Always great to welcome to the program, Rick Tocchet. Tocchet, congratulations on the new job. I know you had a couple offers to be associate head coach with a few teams. What made you pick TV?
I'll be honest with you, I struggled with it because I really wanted to get back into hockey, but I thought, take the year, do this gig with TNT. I actually like what they're trying to do. They want to really, they want to kind of do an entertainment show, but also, they're new to hockey and they want to get some guys there to really branch out and a different vibe of telecasting the game. But it was tough because, I'm a day-to-day guy. I wanted to kind of get in the fire, but I think maybe this is the best way if I want to get back into head coaching, take a year to reinvent yourself.
Now, you're going to be in studio. That's Wednesday night, I believe. It's going to be you and who else? Is it all formatted out yet?
Well, they haven't, stated it, but I think it's with Gretz and Paul Biznasi. Biz. And I think Anson Carter. But I'm not – I don't think that's, stamped, but I think right now that's what they have us at.
Well, that's what I've heard, too, and that brings up an interesting combination of you and Wayne Gretzky. You played with him in L.A., what's it going to be like to do analysis with him, and how's he going to do? Because this is new ground for both you guys.
Yeah, Wayne's the best. He's the best when you have happy hour with him. He's got great stories. He's really he's got some great insights. So I'm looking forward to kind of having that happy hour with him on the show. He loves the game. He kind of branched out. I think a lot of people are shocked he took this thing, but I think he's really excited. I've talked to him a bunch this month. He wants to get really good at it. He wants to be creative. And then I talked to Biz the other day, the same thing, if he's on the show. So, we want to make sure there's some good chemistry there, and we're looking forward to it.
Well, those are four really good hockey minds. And like you said, Paul Bissonnette, Biz Nasty, he works for Barstool Sports. And he's kind of I don't want to call him the fourth liner of the group, but I think he has a totally different perspective, don't you?
Yeah. He called me. He goes, "Don't worry, I can be the puncher bag of the group." And I said, "Hey, man, you got a good hockey. He does a hell of a job." When I was with the Coyotes, he did their telecast, and he does a really good job. I told him, "Don't be afraid. You don't have to be the class clown all the time." And he's a very funny guy, and I think he has that personality that he has to bring out. But he does have a good hockey IQ, and I'm looking forward to work with this.
Now, you were very honest, talk always have been, and you can't be outspoken. Is that what TNT wants? I'm not saying you're Charles Barkley, but hockey needs somebody like a Barkley.
Well, I talked to the executives after I tested Mads, and they basically told me, listen, they don't want a pure hockey show. They want to be entertained, and am I afraid to be opinionated? I said, no. I've always been, I'll tell you what I do. I will never make it personal, but I will tell you how I feel. Might rub some people the wrong way, but it's just my opinion. And, I've played and been in the league for 35-plus years, so I think I got some good insight. But I'm not afraid to be opinionated and tell you my views. But saying that, it'll never be personal. I don't think it's, I'll never go personal at somebody.
Now, as you mentioned, this ain't going to mean you won't be coaching again. Is that still your goal, to be behind a bench again as a head coach? And how quick do you think it might happen? Because it would seem to me you'd be first on most lists.
Yeah, I still got the fire. I mean, I was real late on the Seattle gig and the Rangers. Columbus was a great interview process. I really enjoyed the interview process. Got to know some of these GMs and what they think. So, yeah, I'm looking to get back in. But, you know, listen, there's only, what is it, 32 head coaches in the league. So it's hard to get those jobs. You got to be ready for it. You know, I think I'm a good coach. I think I can really add some value to the team. But we'll see this summer, if next summer if something's available. But right now, really excited to join this TNT gig.
This is a loaded question, Talk. But what if a job came available in mid-season this year and somebody called you? Do you have an out with TNT?
No, I'm going to have to wait till the end of the year. You know, if sometime in April, I think my contract says I can take interviews. But it's only fair. I don't think it's fair. But and plus, you know what? If something did arise and it was a big job, I don't know if TNT would stand in my way. I don't know. But in my contract, it says no. But they've been great. You know, they've really been. You know, the contract's great, so I'll abide by that, and I'll just watch hockey this year and see what transpires.
We're talking to Rick Tocchet of NHL on TNT here on the Mark Madden Show. Now, I want to ask you some questions about stuff that's going on in the league right now. First off, Pittsburgh isn't going to have Geno for like half a season, and Sid's going to miss a couple weeks. What's that do to them, and what can they do to deal with it?
Well, you know, it's the old turn a negative into positive. Listen, you know, Geno and Sid have played some huge games in their career, a lot of mileage, and they still got a lot of gas. I think it could be a blessing in disguise where these guys can, you know, they take this time off to recharge the battery, even get stronger. Penguins could keep their head above water until they're out. They could be a very dangerous team. I mean, they're dangerous even with a couple of those guys out sometimes. So to me, and I know the way Sully approaches this, he's going to turn this into a positive where, hey, if we just play our system, and you know they did a good job last year when they had a lot of guys out. They played their system to the T. They won a lot of hockey games on team play, and that's what they're gonna have to do until the big boys come back. So I see those guys hanging around until Geno come back.
What do you expect from Crosby at age 34? Because I still think he has a ton left in the tank. I know when you're 34, it's supposed to be past your prime. I'm not sure it is with him.
You know, it's like Tom Brady. Like, he's obsessive. You know, he's, you know, after the season, you know, he's a week later, he's flying somewhere to try some new training. Like, he just tries whatever it is to stay relevant and be that player he is. You know, I think he's got a lot of points left in him. He's got a lot of gas. When you're obsessive like that to be great, you do great things. You know, and I remember talking to him a couple of weeks, about a month ago, talking about the last year. He said, you know, even at Islanders season, you know, they played really hard. He likes his hockey team. Like, he's really comfortable with the hockey team. So when you have a motivated, obviously, Sidney Crosby, the attitude, the energy is there. He's still one of the best players in the league. No question.
I think that's still a pretty good team with the Penguins, Talk, but are you surprised they didn't make a move in goal? Do you trust Tristan Jarry coming back as the number one after what happened in the playoffs?
Well, I know this, you know, you're always sniff around for Kemper and these type of guys, but you know, it's like you got to give out a lot to get these guys. You know, Jari's got a lot of talent. You know, it's going to be really near the end of the year, and if they're in the playoff hunt, that's where he's going to have to be in those pressure games. I was there with Tristan, was a young kid in Wilkes-Barre. I love the kid. I think he's going to bounce back. I really do. I think his teammates going to rally around him. You know, listen, Washington, Islanders, Rangers, everybody's improved. Everybody's gotten tougher. It's a tough division. Not much fault. And you got to play hard. You know, even in those playoffs, the first round, you know, you got to be able to score those goals inside. You're going to have to be able to defend the puck. So, the Penguins have done that for a lot of years, and it's not going to be easy, to get out of that metropolitan, but, I still like their team a lot.
Now, obviously a big surprise last year when Jim Rutherford resigned and Ron Hextall and Brian Burke took over. How do you see the relationship? What do you hear about Hextall and Mike Sullivan? Because Sully's a great coach. We know that. You worked with him. He's won two cups. But it's always a little different when a new GM takes over and the coach stays.
Yeah, you know, they got to form a chemistry. You know, with the COVID stuff, too. And I know talking to Hextall this summer a few times, like, it, you know, he didn't get to know a lot of people. Like, you don't get to see a lot of people around. And it's no different than a coach. You know, you're on the road a lot. And I think those two guys think the same way. You know, listen, Mike Sullivan is a smart guy. He believes in his way. And I know Ron Hextall is the same way. A little bit of both are a bit stubborn, but that's in a good way. You know, they're both winners, and I like that. So they'll find their way. You know, I think they both know what needs to be improved, what needs to be done. If you ask both of them, they were really pleased, actually. I mean, obviously, they lost to the Islanders, but I know they outchanced them, and we all hear the deal. At the end of the day, they did lose, but they'll turn whatever stone it is to try to improve that team so that it doesn't, you know, they don't have that first-round loss that they had the last 3-4 years.
Now, you mentioned the Metro, and I agree. I think it's a great division. I'm not sure it's top-heavy. I think it's more all the teams are good as opposed to any of the teams being great.
I agree with that. I think the Rangers are dangerous. They add some toughness, and they're a team that can score, but can they play those tight games? That's their thing. You know, Washington, everybody says they're getting older and older, and they are older, but they still got some veteran savvy in there. They're still always up there in points. You know, you go to the Islanders, they play their system to the T. You know, you just go down the list. Tough division with some old star players that still have a lot of gas. It's going to be really interesting. And honestly, you guys know at Pittsburgh, goaltending's huge. It's going to come down to goaltending, I think, for that division.
Tampa Bay's won 2 straight cups. Will this year, going for the three-peat, will it be easier or harder coming out of the pandemic? Because the pandemic, both years, the last 2 years, presented some very unique challenges.
It's going to be a lot harder. I mean, listen, they've lost their third line. They've all left on trades and cap reasons. That's a great third line that really helped Coop. Coop's a very I love John Cooper because he knows he's going to have some kind of refreshing, different way to approach the team this year. And that's the hardest point to challenge back-to-back, and back again. And we went through it in Pittsburgh. You got to bring some new ideas. You're going to have to use some other players in other situations. You got to keep people hungry. So you don't just kind of live off the Stanley Cup. So it's going to be a tough year for them, but, I mean, they got talent coming up. They got some young guys they want to implement, and they still got, the Kucherovs of the world that are unbelievable. And, probably the best goalie in the league, everybody talks about Tampa, and I'm sure Vasilevskiy does get his due, but, oh, my God, some of the playoff games, he was just incredible. What was his record after a loss? That's huge. So this team can do it. Would that be unbelievable in a cap era to go 3 times? That would be unbelievable.
You got a lot of young stars in Hockey Talk who haven't really had a playoff run, guys like McDavid, Matthews, McKinnon. Is that tarnishing their rep yet? Is there a lot of pressure on those guys more than ever?
Yeah, there's a ton of pressure on McDavid and Draisaitl. I mean, they got to make noise this year. You cannot... With that kind of talent, you can't just get bounced out of the first round or not make the playoffs. So that's huge. Obviously Matthews, he scores goals in regular season. Can he carry his team over into the playoffs? When the Penguins didn't get, they lost some in the playoffs there for a bunch of years. Everybody was criticizing Sid and Gino. You can't always blame the stars. They need some help, but definitely those type of guys have to be able to play that 200-foot game in the playoffs. And then, you get these young guys, Caulfield out of Montreal, he's getting a lot of press. He's got to play 82 games now. There's a lot of these young guys that, they've played, minimal games and have done really well. But it's a grind. So I'm interested in how they're going to do this year, too.
Well, I think the most pressure's on McKinnon and Colorado because with McDavid and Draisaitl, they're good. That team could do better. I feel like Colorado should do better. And I know they lost to a good team last year in Vegas, but you still left feeling a little disappointed.
Yeah, I think, it's right. I forgot about that team. That's probably the most pressure. That team has to win now. I mean, they got a great nucleus. I mean, listen, regular season, those guys are, they just marched through a lot of different teams, but playoffs are different. They got to make some noise. McKinnon, Landeskog, and Rantanen, I mean, that line is terrific, but can they carry that team in the playoffs? There's a huge move by Sackett getting Darcy Kemper. I had him in Arizona. Love him. I think he's going to solidify that position for him. He's going to give that team a lot of confidence, when they do make the playoffs. But, yeah, if you had to pick a team, the most pressure, obviously, to me, you're right, Colorado would be the one.
Talk again, congratulations on the gig. Great stuff, and we'll be talking soon, I'm sure.
You got it, and the chef is waiting for you, buddy.
That is Rick Tocchet. I can't wait to see him and Gretz and all those guys. I can wait for the rest of this half to finish up, though, because Milan just scored twice in about 2 minutes to take a 2-1 lead after Liverpool totally dominated the entire half, so that sucks. But great to hear from Talk. And that TNT, that crew on TV, that's going to be pretty good. That's going to be some good hockey coverage. The one thing he said that kind of worried me, though, is they want it to be an entertainment show. I think the guys he said could pull it off. I also think hockey struggles with stuff like that. But we'll see. I live in hope, and certainly they got a good crew, and Tockett is right on top of the list in terms of guys who are going to make that show do well. 412-333-WXDX is the number to call. We got Adam Crowley next hour. It's the Mark Madden Show, 105.9.
This Friday and Saturday night,
radio.
The ultimate once-in-a-lifetime music event returns.
Let's do this, Vegas.
The biggest stuff.
Live radio for 30 seconds, and you all listen.
VX at 105.9.
Well, that sucks. Liverpool score early, 1-0. Miss a penalty, but you figure that's okay. Shots at one time were 14-1. Corners were 10-0. And we trail Milan at halftime, 2-1 at Anfield. But I live in hope, 45 minutes to go. So I'm watching ESPN this morning, which is my first mistake, I know. And everybody is like, can the Steelers win the division? There were two segments that included the topic and the debate. Can the Steelers win the AFC North? After one game, that's the talk. And listen, if you didn't think the Steelers could win the division before Sunday, one game shouldn't change your mind. Shouldn't change your mind if you thought they could either. But that's what happens when you have so much airtime to fill. Everything changes every day, even if it doesn't really change at all. I do think Baltimore's in trouble. All those injuries, especially all those injuries, and it's only week one. I do laugh when people say, well, Cleveland still has to prove themselves. No, Cleveland just has to get better. Cleveland did make the playoffs last year, and Cleveland did eliminate the Steelers last year. And that playoff defeat at the hands of Cleveland was the second time the Steelers lost to Cleveland in as many weeks. The Browns have a great team on paper, and that crap, the Browns is the Browns, it just doesn't apply anymore. That's how sports is now. We overreact to everything. Every week, every win, every loss, every play, every TikTok, every stat, every score. It's just out of control. To me, the best thing about that win Sunday was the win, duh. And the defense, but we kind of knew that defense was going to be elite. Watt delivered on his contract. Hayward was great. Who the frick is Trey Norwood? But I guess we know now he played good, played 80% of the snaps. The bad thing is the offense and the warning signs there. Ben got rid of the ball in 2.06 seconds average of Buffalo. And the Steelers run shotgun 43 snaps out of 56. That's like the offense last year. And that just can't happen again, but I think it's gonna, especially bolstered by the success of an upset victory at Buffalo. But you gotta commit to the run, and you gotta throw deep. And if that don't happen, it won't be the season you want it to be. No Quarter brought to you by CW Electrical Services. Make the switch at cwelectricalservices.com. I still don't know what Ryan Clark meant when he said on ESPN that Carl Nassib, the openly gay player for the Raiders, Ryan Clark said he was butt booty naked when he forced the fumble that led to the Vegas win over Baltimore on Monday night. That's a direct quote. I'm not exaggerating. He said butt booty naked. What the frig does that mean? Butt booty naked. I'm kind of thinking it means that he was unblocked on the play or some such. But nonetheless, butt booty naked? And it's not just an odd thing to say because Nassib's a gay guy. It's an odd thing to say, period. What did he mean by butt booty naked? Are any of you guys out there saying that? Maybe Crowley's saying it. Butt booty naked. I don't know. Reminds me of Howard Stern, butt bongo fiesta. When Howard Stern admitted he was a pig and did radio like it, and he didn't lie and pretend. Did you see butt bongo fiesta, by the way, the Howard Stern tape? That was, it was not bad. Not bad at all. 412-333-WXDX. A story I'm going to talk about later, and this is just, This is just a rich vein of discussion, except none of you will care. The U.S. Soccer Federation has offered the men's and women's soccer teams, the national teams, identical pay, equal pay. That sounds good, right? You know how they're going to get the equal pay? Listen carefully to this. Here's how they're going to pay the women equal to the men. If the men make the World Cup, FIFA pays the U.S. Soccer Federation $440 million. That's in 2022. If the women make their World Cup in 2023, FIFA pays the U.S. Federation $60 million. They're going to take the men's $440 million and the women's $60 million and combine it and then divide it in half to pay the men and women. They're stealing from the men. That's what they're doing. But the men can't say what the frig, because if they do, oh, you're male chauvinist, you've had it so good for so long, you're trying to keep women down, burn your bra, etc. And the next thing you know, everybody's butt booty naked. But if you're the men, you have to say, no, I don't think so. You're not going to agree to that deal. But if they don't, boy, then the spit is really going to hit the span. Also, it's worth noting, because the women's pro leagues pay so little, the women get paid by the U.S. Federation year-round. Are they going to pay the men year-round? I bet they don't. But, you know, equal don't just go one way. Except in this case, I bet. Let's go. We'll kick to Steve in Castle Shannon. Steve, you're on with Double F.
Hey, Mark. What's going on, man?
What up, man?
Nothing. So I'm not sure if anyone asked you this before, but I was just wondering what your thoughts were on Ben's arm. Do you think there's some underlying injury that no one knows about? Or
I think that's like a fake arm. I think that arm was amputated when they did the elbow surgery. That's a bionic arm, but not a very good one. It's not a $6 million arm. It's like a $29.99 arm.
The fact that he's not throwing it deep as much kind of concerns me.
Oh, no. All facetiousness aside, although that is really a fake arm. I agree. I mean, they according to the stats, although the video belies the stats, but according to the stats, they didn't throw one pass over 25 yards. And
yeah, exactly.
The offense in the second half Sunday looked exactly like the offense last year, and that ain't going to work. Up next in studio, it's Adam Crowley, 105.9 EX.
It's Abby.
Is this considered dwelling to the FCC, do you think?
But I don't think Booger was ever.
I don't think Booger was ever in question. No.
The most music in the morning on the X at 105.9.
WXDX FM, Pittsburgh.